If you have your Bible with you this evening, never mind your jacket, if you've got your Bible with you this evening, then you might turn to the Acts of the Apostles and to chapter 3, because we're going to read some verses at the beginning of chapter 3, and then maybe a verse kind of halfway down it, and then one verse in chapter 4. So we're beginning at the start of Acts of the Apostles chapter 3. And there we read now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Now as he went into the temple, there were those who were wondering, how could this thing be? And so as you come with me down a little the chapter, verse 16, and so they're answering the question that folks are asking, how come he's able to walk? And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And then into chapter 4, please. We're reading verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And we do trust that God will bless us as we've read these verses from his word together. This was a remarkable incident. This was an incident which, after it had happened, it would have been talked about in the district for a long time. This was a remarkable incident, for the thing that happened to this man, there was absolutely no doubt about it. They didn't have to wait for a period of time to see if it was real. They didn't wonder, is there going to be some kind of fullness of recovery for the man? No. This was a man who had never been able to walk. Lame from his mother's womb. From the day and hour this man had been born, he had never been able to walk. And yet, by the end of the incident, he was not walking. Or at least, he was not only walking. It says that he was walking, and he was leaping, and he was praising God. And so, the experience of this man, there can be no doubting it. There was absolutely no argument. This man was cured. And what we need to do this evening is we need to look at this incident, and we need to see the significance of it, and we need to learn the spiritual lessons from it, and we need to say, there was only one thing that worked with this man. There was only one thing that healed, that cured this man. And then we'll discover from chapter 4 of our section that this is the only way. This is the only alternative. For neither is there salvation in any other. I want you to notice, first of all, however, in chapter 3, that this was a man who had been lame since birth. He'd never been able to walk. Now, sometimes in the Bible, there are those, and they have been able to walk, and then they lose the power in their legs. There's one man in the Old Testament, for example, and he was able to walk when he was a child, but his nurse was running with him and carrying him, and she dropped him, and he lost the power in his legs. He wasn't able to walk. There are others in the New Testament, and we're told about them, and we're not sure whether they could or couldn't walk when they were younger. But when we meet them in the New Testament, they were lame. But it's interesting, and it's very important, that when we come to this man here, that we discover that he was lame from his mother's womb. He had never been able, from the day and hour that he was born, he could not walk. And I do think that that's important. You see, this section of the Bible, it brings to us a very clear picture of men, of women, and of young people as they are before God as sinners. And sin's not a thing that creeps up on you and all of a sudden you discover at the age of 12 or 15 or 20 or even older. You don't just discover in later life that all of a sudden you've contracted sin. You've been touching somebody and their sin's passed to you, or somebody's coughed or sneezed and you've... No, that's not how sin comes. You don't get sin by sitting beside somebody in the bus. No. That's the diseases of men that come like that. But you see, in this lovely section this evening, it's a beautiful picture of someone who's been a sinner who gets made whole. And sin is that which we have from the moment that we come into this world. It was David in the Old Testament, and he said, I was born in sin. I was shaped in iniquity. Here's one who recognised that the moment he came into this scene, he was touched by that the Bible calls sin. Sin's a terrible thing, but sin touches us all. Sin's an awful thing, but from the moment we are born, we have sin. And so here's a man, and it says that he was lame from his mother's womb. He had never been able to walk. He had never been able to go about his daily business. He had never been able to live before God as he would have wanted. He was tough. Sin, says the Bible, separates between us and God. Sin, says the Bible, when it is finished, brings forth death. Sin, says the Bible, if it's not confessed, will bar us from God's heaven for all of eternity. Sin is an awful thing, and it's pictured here in a man who could not walk. No, not from the day and the hour that he was born. I think that we need to notice in this section as well, however, that the man was sitting in a particular place. You see, if the man was going to have his need met, surely he was in the right place. And if you were listening as we did our reading in the very first few verses that we read, then time and again we came upon this phrase. It says, into the temple. It says, the gate of the temple. It says, to go into the temple. The incident that we've been reading this evening, it happened at the temple. It happened at the place of religious worship. It happened where the Jewish people would gather together to praise God, to worship God. So, if this man has a need, and he does, if this man has a problem, and he has, then surely he's gone to the right place. And even by going to the temple, his need will be met. By going to the temple, surely something's going to happen to him. But it's really quite sad when it says, was carried whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple. They took him to the temple on Monday, and he went away again at night, none the better. They brought him back on Tuesday, and on Tuesday they laid him again at the gate of the temple, and on Tuesday night they came and took him away again. And so they did the same on Wednesday. And I wonder if they were thinking, perhaps something will happen, it's Wednesday. And they brought him on Thursday, and on Friday, and on Saturday, and on Sunday, and the next Monday. And they brought him daily, and he went as a regular habit. He went, and he went, and he went. And this man who was lame from his mother's womb, he'd never been able to walk. Though they took him daily to the temple, there was not one thing different. think that's important when we come together to preach the gospel. It's important that we recognise that the temple, the place of religious worship, it did not help the man. Now, we haven't gathered into a temple this evening. It's what we call a gospel hall. Can I tell you, the gospel hall in itself will do nothing for you. And being brought daily to the gospel hall, or being brought regularly on a Sunday evening, or maybe to the midweek meeting, these things are good. Glad to see you, delighted to see you. But please remember that just by coming, it makes no difference. I know that this is where you hear the word of God. I know that this is where you hear the claims of God upon you. But just coming and going, and coming and going, regular attendance, it will never save you. Coming and sitting and listening and going will never gain you access into heaven. This man came and they laid him daily, day upon day upon day. And he was no different. He was no better. He was not changed one little bit. And so, maybe you've come this evening and you're thinking, God will take me into his heaven because I came to the gospel meeting. I'm sorry, but he won't. Maybe you're thinking, I went along to that little gospel hall in Newcomnock at 6 o'clock on a Sunday night. Surely God will throw open his gates of heaven to me. I'm sorry, but he won't. This man was to discover that coming daily and coming to the temple, he had to come and come and come again. But he was still unable to walk. And so one day along came Peter and John, and they were going into the temple, and the man stopped them. And the man, he put out his hand like that. And what he was saying to Peter and John was, I would like some money from you. I would like if, in order to help me sitting here, you could offer me something. Now, Peter and John didn't give him a penny piece. I don't think that's because they'd forgotten their jacket. But they didn't give him a penny piece. You see, what they did was, they looked at the man and recognised that he had a need which was greater than the need for silver and gold. This man's need was not something that money could fix. This man's problem was nothing that money, even though you threw all that you had at it, it was never going to deal with it. You see, that's the way it is in the Bible with pictures like this where there is a spiritual need. I like the section in the Bible about the woman, and it says of her that she had spent all of her money going to doctors. She was no better, but rather grew worse. She proved that spending all her money could never meet her need. Now here's a man, and he's putting out his hand, and Peter and John are going to teach him that day, the problem that you have is not a problem that money can solve. Now that's something which in our world today, men, women, young folk, they just do not understand. Money can buy you anything, they tell us. Anything. And then sometimes you're flicking through the newspapers and you discover that there are those and they've maybe won the lottery. They've come into money and all that money's bought them is unhappiness. They've got a huge car and a lovely big house and a lifestyle that's awful. Money is absolutely no guarantee of happiness in this life. Money has absolutely nothing to do with eternal life, with having your sin dealt with a place in God's heaven. Money has absolutely nothing to do with these things. And so, if you gather here in the gospel meeting and you've got £1 million in the bank, I'm sorry, it's not going to help you. Nor two, nor three. Never mind the number of millions that you have. No help. this man. It's maybe me that's shouting too loud, isn't it? God. This man's going to have to discover that he cannot have his need met at the temple. He cannot have his need met by money. He cannot have his need met by anything other than that which Peter and John are going to bring him. And so they speak. And they say, "We don't have money. Silver and gold have I none. But such as I have give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Now, here's the important part. This man had a problem that speaks of sin. This man had a need that the temple could not meet, that money could not meet. But, says Peter, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Who is this Jesus Christ of Nazareth? Who is he? He seems to be important in the story. Who is he? This man's at the temple. The Lord Jesus had been to the temple on a number of occasions, not so very many days before this. I wonder if he passed him by on one or two occasions. I wonder if the Lord Jesus had ever seen him sitting there. And I wonder why he didn't heal him then. I've thought now often. I think it was this. I think it was to teach us that when the Lord Jesus Christ was here on earth, sometimes he reached out and he touched an individual and they were healed from whatever the problem was. Or sometimes he pronounced on one or another that their sin was gone, it was dealt with, it was finished. But he's not here anymore. Now he's in heaven. He's not here anymore. They can't say to the man, "Go and call for the Lord Jesus," because he would not have come, because he was not on earth at this stage. But this little section teaches me that though he is now in heaven, yet the power of his name is still able to operate. Though he wasn't physically present, yet to call upon his name in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth was to call upon that which had power, that which could take effect. And so, if you're here in the gospel meeting this evening and you do not have Christ to be your Saviour, I cannot call him to you that he might sit beside you or stand before you. But I can tell you that the power which resides in the name of the Lord Jesus, that's able to save tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. This was a name which people knew. It was. This was a name which in three different languages had been written on a piece of wood. They wrote, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." They wrote it in Greek. They wrote it in Latin. They wrote it in Hebrew. And then they took that piece of wood with that written on it three times and they nailed it above a cross. And the man who was hanging below that sign was none other than the Lord Jesus, God's Son. And it said, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." The man in the centre cross. The man of Calvary. The man who had once been dead, but then was raised again. The ones who had been on earth, and now he's in heaven. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. I want to remind you this evening that the Bible's perfectly clear. It was the Lord Jesus giving his life on the cross that made it possible for sin to be dealt with. It was the Lord Jesus shedding his precious blood that made it possible for men, for women, for young folk to have an access to God, to have the problem of sin dealt with. Sin which touches us all from birth. Sin which makes us unable to walk right before God. sin which leads us in a direction away from his heaven. Sin which keeps us out of his heaven. Not the temple. Not silver and gold. But in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I wonder if there's been a time in your experience when you've called on that name. When you, recognizing your sin and recognizing your need, you've invited the Lord Jesus into your heart, into your life, to be your Saviour. This is no light thing. This is not a kind of man who stands on a platform and says, put your hand up if you want to go to heaven. No, no. This is not a sign a piece of paper if you want to become a Christian. This is a matter of, I recognise that I'm a sinner and my sin needs to be dealt with. I recognise my sin takes me away from God and I turn from that sin. The Bible calls it repentance. I turn from that sin and I will lead a life now bringing pleasure to the God of heaven. That sinful way is behind me and I invite the Lord Jesus into my heart, into my life, to be my Saviour, to take away my sin and to fit me for God's heaven in a day which is yet future. And so I'm wondering if you've had that experience, a personal commitment of faith in the Lord Jesus. That's what it takes. That's what you need. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. The man's sitting there. Rise up and walk. He's never walked before. Rise up and walk. Will he have the faith just to reach out his hands and begin to push himself up? Will he have the strength just to flex his muscles, to straighten his knees, to rise up and to stand before men, before women, before Peter, before John? Will he have the faith to rise and to do as invited? I suppose he could have just sat there and said, no, I don't think the power in that name is enough. I don't think the invitation that you've given me is one that I can respond to. I don't think that this Jesus of Nazareth and the power of his name, I don't think that's enough for me. He could have said that. But rather, what the Bible says is this. Peter reached out his hand and he took him. And he gave him that little bit of assistance and the man got up. He came walking. He came leaping. He came praising God. This was a cure which the Bible says was immediate. This was a cure which was absolutely sure and absolutely certain. This was an event where, I repeat what I said earlier, there was nobody going to have to look and say, did it happen? Was it real? Was it true? Folk knew it was true. For they saw him skipping about just outside the temple. They saw him walking into the temple. They saw him getting up. They saw him moving. They saw that the power in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, that in itself is enough. Aye, it's more than enough to meet this man in his need. The man who was lame from birth. Folks saw it. They wondered about it. They began to ask questions. Is this real? Did it happen? Is it true? And that's why we read that little section further down when Peter and John are questioned about these things. They say, please don't give us the credit. It wasn't me, says Peter. It wasn't John. We're not the ones who have done this thing. No, no. This is what it is. It's his name. Through faith in his name have made this man strong, whom you see and know. The faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. It is faith. Says the Bible at a later stage. Look at Ephesians. For by grace are ye saved. Through faith. This man had the faith when given the invitation to reach out, to stand up, to walk. This man had the faith to do that which he had never done before. This man had faith in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the man of the center cross. And this man exercised his faith, and because of that faith, he was able to do that which he'd never done before. Faith. Faith. So not the temple, not the silver, not the gold, not Peter, not John, but faith in the man of Calvary. Faith in the man of the center tree. Faith. And he put his faith in him that day. But this is a kind of old story. This happened about 2,000 years ago. This happened in Jerusalem. And so here we are this evening in New Cumnock, and we're separated from these events by distance and by time. We're separated by distance. I don't know. A couple of thousand, 2,500. How many miles from here to Jerusalem? I'm not sure. We're separated by time, by about 2,000 years. And so we're having to wonder this evening, have things changed? Is this grand message of the gospel, faith in Christ makes us well, faith in Christ deals with our sin, is this message still the same? And that's why we read that final section in chapter 4. Neither is there salvation in any other. None other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. None other name under heaven given among men. None other name, though Jerusalem be far away. None other name, though these events be 2,000 years old. The Lord Jesus, he stands today still as absolutely unique. Unique, of course, means he's the only one. I read an article in a newspaper not so very long ago, and it was a man who was being quoted. I don't think he knew what unique meant. And he was talking about something that he had bought, and he said, it's absolutely unique. There are only three of them in the whole world. No, no. Unique means there's one. This is a unique salvation. This is a unique Saviour. This is a unique name, and neither is there salvation in any other. There's only one name, the name of the Lord Jesus. There's only one Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. There is only one remedy for sin, and that is to come to him in faith. There is only one. And I'm sorry if you come on a Sunday evening like this to hear a gospel message, one of many. I'm sorry if you come to hear of a Saviour, one of a selection. But my Bible says that the Lord Jesus himself, when he was here, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Salvation is by Christ alone. Salvation is by faith in him alone. Faith in the finished work of Calvary. Faith that his precious shed blood has opened a door into heaven, that those who will come can have access to God's presence while we're here. But in eternity, in future, to be with him forever, and only through Christ. It has been good to see you this evening. It's been good to remind you of these things, for I'm sure that these are things you've heard before and you know so very well. But at the end of a meeting like this, what's vital is that you in your own heart answer the question, am I still
burdened by that sin that I've had from birth? Or have I taken Christ to be my Saviour? Have I exercised faith in the man of the centre cross? That's what we invite you to do now if you've not already done so. Take the Lord Jesus to be your own. Take the Lord Jesus while here in time, before it should be that he returns, and the opportunity to take him is gone. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. So if you're not saved now, we invite you to take him and, like this man, be walking and leaping and praising God for the salvation that he's brought. Let's pray together. We give thanks this evening, our God, for the person, for the work of the Lord Jesus. We've been thinking in one who was able to have his need met. It was dealt with because of the power of the name of the Lord Jesus. And what a name that is. And if we'll come to him in faith this evening, we too can have our need met. We too can have our sins forgiven. Might it be that at the close of another Sunday evening, at the close of another gospel meeting, that these things will become very real to all of us, and that for one or another not yet placing their faith and their trust in him, that they'll do so now. Take him who alone has the power to save. Part us with a sense of thy blessing, we ask, for we ask it in the Saviour's name. Amen. Now, before we go, perhaps we'll sing one verse of a hymn. Just the first verse in the chorus of number 273. 273. We were thinking earlier about a man who was lame, and 273 says, only a step to Jesus. Then, why not take it now? Come in thy sin confessing to him, thy Saviour bow. Only a step, come, he waits for thee. Come in thy sin confessing, thou shalt receive a blessing. Do not reject the mercy he freely offers thee. If there's anything I said this evening and you haven't understood it, or you'd like to talk further about it, then please feel free to wait and have a chat. But please make sure this evening that before you leave, you're trusting the Saviour. We'll just remain seated while we sing this first verse in the chorus of 273.